The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Ayin Gimel. Be'ezah Eifin Mutter Lasseis Kodem Shabbos Melach Al Akam. In what manner is it permitted to give a non-Jew an item to work on, something for him to do work for you, or to lend or to rent utensils or objects to a non-Jew before Shabbos? Sif Aleph. Also, lahaniach la'akom shiyasim melechas Yisrael b'Shabbos. It's forbidden to allow a non-Jew to perform work for a Jew on Shabbos. V'samchu al ha'pasuk, and they based this prohibition on the verse. It says, "Kol melacha lo ye'aseh." Melacha may not be done. That doesn't say that melacha lo ye'aseh. You should not do work. Rather, it should not be done. Dimasha, which implies afil al yedei akum, even through the agency of a non-Jew, work may not be done. So while this prohibition is really rabbinic, but it's hinted to in this verse. The Maisel Akum is HaMalacha Be'er Shabbos, if you give a non-Jew something to work on, some contract work before Shabbos, on Friday. Afa Pisha HaAkum Maisel B'Shabbos Mota, even though the non-Jew actually works on it, on Shabbos it's permitted, as long as you Avol Rakbe, as long as you fulfill the following five conditions, then it will be permitted. So you're not allowed to allow him to do work if he comes on Shabbos to do work for you. But if you gave him the work, so it's no longer in your possession, you gave him, let's say, your suit to clean, your car to fix, or something along those lines, then it would be permitted if the following five conditions are fulfilled. So, Aleph, condition number one. The non-Jew must take the object that's being worked on out of the house of the Jew before Shabbos, below the Shabbos. So if you want the non-Jew to fix your shoes, for example, and you call him before Shabbos, and you ask him to come pick up your shoes, it would be forbidden for him to come on Shabbos to pick up the shoes. You would have to give them to him before Shabbos, and then it would be okay if he worked on them and fixed them for you on Shabbos. Bays, sif bays, and condition bays. Condition number two: sheyiktzais lehaakum schara. You have to fix a price, fix the wages for the non-Jew of how much you're going to pay him. She'az, or the fact that you're going to pay him, as we'll see. She'az hu oises hamalacha b'shvil atzmai, because in that scenario, since he knows how much money he's going to get, when he's doing the work, he has his own interest in mind. He's doing the work for himself. She kavos charis, so that he should receive his wages. He's not doing the work for you. He's doing it because he wants to get money. And therefore, we don't view it as if he's doing work on behalf of the Jew, and that's why it's okay. V'lachen, therefore, mi sheyesh lo misharis akum v'zman yedua, somebody who has a worker, a non-Jewish worker, who works for him for a certain amount of time. He doesn't do specific jobs. It's, for example, like a maid, or someone living maid, that they do any work that comes up. They don't have any specific jobs to do. They're the general all-around worker, that they work for you for a certain amount of time. Also, l'aniach l'maseis melacha b'Shabbos, it's forbidden to allow him to do work for you on Shabbos. If neisha melacha, he rakal t'yalas Yisrael, because the work is only for the benefit of the Jew. He doesn't benefit. He's getting paid either way. He's getting paid to be available, let's say, for the month. Therefore, if you allow him to do work on Shabbos, the only person who gains is the Jew, and therefore clearly he's doing the work for the Jew, because he's not getting paid for this specific work, he's getting paid for his time, and therefore it would be forbidden to allow him to do work for you. The Akum HaNeseh L'Ezim Makan, if there's a non-Jew who's traveling to a certain place, the Yisrael Nesim L'Yigeres, and the Jew gives him a letter, Sheyisa Shama, that he should carry it there, he should bring the letter to that other place. The Yisrael Gam B'Shabbos, and the non-Jew may end up carrying the letter on Shabbos. Sarach HaYisrael, Masis LeEzes Chai, the Jew has to give him some type of wages That the Jew should not be doing him a favor, rather he should be doing it for pay. Because if he's doing the Jew a favor, now we view it, he's doing your work for you. See, and the Mishabura brings that it's really a disagreement among the Paiskin. There are those who say if he's doing work for you for free, it's got to be that you must have done him a favor sometime in the past, and he feels that he's repaying you a favor. It's like he feels he owes you a favor, and therefore it's as if he got paid. However, the Mishabura says it's proper to be strict about this, and one should follow the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and pay the non-Jew some amount of money so that we should view it as if he's doing it in order to get paid, not that he's doing it as a favor and he's doing your work for you. That's condition number two. Condition number three, and Sif Gimel, She'ascha yeh kotzav mechol ha-malacha, the price is fixed per job. Not that the non-Jew should be a day worker, a day laborer. You're not, you see, even if you fix the amount you're going to pay him per day or per hour, but it's not that the job has a fixed price. So now when he's doing the work, every moment that he works, he's doing it for you because he's getting paid for your time. You're paying him for his time. So the time he's working, the act that he's doing is for you, because the time you're paying him for the time, not for the act, as opposed to if you pay him for the job, so then he's doing the job for himself, so he can get the job done, so then he can get his wages for having completed the job, as opposed to here, where he's getting paid for his time, so then the actual job he's doing is being reviewed as if he's doing it for you, and it is forbidden. Sif Dalet, in condition number four, you can't fix a time frame for the non-Jew that he has to do the work for you on Shabbos. If you don't tell him specifically, I'd like you to work for me, to do this work, perform this work on Shabbos, but he fixes for him a time that you ask him to have the work finished by some time soon after Shabbos, we are doing. It's known ki efshar sheyikmar samalacha. Adyam said it's impossible to have the work completed by that day or by that time. In lo yaseh gam b'Shabbos, if he doesn't perform the work on Shabbos, so gam kinas, that's also forbidden. For example, you give your car to the mechanic right before Shabbos, an hour before Shabbos, and it's a four-hour job. It takes 4 hours of labor to get your car fixed, and you tell him I'm going to pick the car up an hour after Shabbos. That's forbidden, because since it's impossible for him to get the job done without working on Shabbos, even though you didn't tell him specifically, I want you to work for me tomorrow on Saturday, on Shabbos, that's what you told him. You tell him, picking up the car, that's whatever time you tell him, at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and that's an hour after Shabbos, and it's a 4-hour job, and then by definition, you are telling him to do the work on Shabbos, and therefore it is aser. Even though you fixed a price and it's a flat price for how much the job is going to cost, you're not going to pay him by the hour, even if that would be the case, still it is forbidden. The chen, similarly, if you send a letter through the agency in the hand of a non-Jew, you say to him, I want you to bring it over there. He's going to some place. Say, I'd like you to make sure it gets there by a certain day. It's known, it's impossible to get there unless I'll travel on Shabbos. The distance is too great to be able to reach that area, that place, unless he travels on Shabbos. Gam ken aser, it's also forbidden. If the market day in this town is on Shabbos, also in Las Yisla Akamas, you're not allowed to give a non-Jew money the Erev Shabbos on Friday. Sheyikne le'ezer davar, that you should buy something for on your behalf, she'yedea, that you know, she'enei mitzi l'knas k'yom Shabbos. You don't find anywhere to buy this item except on Shabbos, meaning it's not something which is normally sold in the general store. On market day, so this item is available. Since market day is Shabbos, so if you ask the non-Jew to purchase it for you, you give him the money on Erev Shabbos, but you know what you're telling him to do is, please buy this for me tomorrow on the market day, and therefore it is forbidden. So too, you can't give him merchandise to sell for you if it's well known that the only time there's a market for this item is on market day, and therefore he's going to have to sell it tomorrow on Shabbos, so it's forbidden. For Ulam, however, often then, this manner, in this situation, that you don't explicitly tell him to do it on Shabbos. Einai also, it's not forbidden. Only if you give him the work or the money, for example, on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. But before that, you can give him the object to perform the work, or money to make the purchase. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, Paskin's not like this. I believe that is the halacha. One is not allowed to even give the work even on Sunday. If you give a non-Jew, let's say, a car to fix, and it's such a big job that it needs a full 5 days of work, 6, 7, 8 days of work, whatever the situation may happen to be, you commission a car, whatever the situation is, even though you gave him the job on Sunday, if he has to work on Shabbos in order to finish the job by the date that you set for him to finish it, that is forbidden. And that's the Mishnah Berurah paskens. And similarly with the market day, if you give him money on Sunday to make a purchase for you, if he can't make that purchase except on market day, which is Shabbos, it would be forbidden. It would be forbidden for him to, for you to give the money in that scenario. And the kitzur ends off, it's best not to live in a city where the market day is on Shabbos. It's impossible not to sin because it's hard to get a hold of things not on the market day, and therefore you're going to come to ask a guy to buy or sell things for you, which is a problem. However, if the market is not in the neighborhood of the Jews, you have to worry about it. It seems that you won't be as enticed into doing the wrong thing, since it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and we're not so worried. Obviously, in modern day setting, where almost everything is available at all times, this particular problem doesn't really apply. Stiff hay in condition number 5. The work that the non-Jew is performing for you is not being done on something which is connected to the ground, not on a piece of real estate. For example, building, construction, or work in the field, plowing, planting, harvesting, but contract work on a construction work, on a building, also it's forbidden for a non-Jew to do on Shabbos, even though you fixed with him a flat price for the entire building, entire construction project, he's going to build an addition onto your house, and you said X amount of money, and he's going to take care of the rest. Still, it is forbidden. And even though you didn't give him a time limit, whenever you finish, you finish, and if he doesn't have to work on Shabbos, but if he does work on Shabbos, it's forbidden. And in a case of great distress, it's really imperative that you allow him to work on Shabbos. You should consult with your local Orthodox rabbi, discuss it with a chacham, because it's very complicated and it's not so easy to permit. Even to smooth out the stones, to square off the stones, to fix the beams, for the purpose of the building, meaning he's not going to do the building, he's not going to actually lay the bricks, he's not going to put the wood in the frame of the house. But he's going to prepare the wood, he's going to prepare the bricks or the stones. Even then, in Yodua, Shehema, Shal Yisrael, if it's known that these building materials belong to a Jew, and the non-Jew is doing this work in the street, in the public place, also, Shabbos is forbidden for him to do this work on Shabbos. The chen avodas asad is so to work in the field, kigon lachresh, for example, to plow and litzar, to harvest, to chodem, or something similar. Even if you hired a non-Jew to do all the work for a flat fee, for example, you hired somebody to mow your lawn, not going to pay him by the hour, you're going to pay him a flat rate. You mow my lawn for X amount of money. He's not a day laborer. Still, also, it's forbidden. But if he's working in the field and he's getting a percentage of the grain, he's a sharecropper, he's working in the field and he's getting a percentage of the grain that grows, and that is the custom by some occurs in that area. It's not unusual what you're doing. This is the general practice among field owners in this area, that they hire workers on a sharecropping basis, and the worker works in the field and takes a percentage of the produce of the field, then mutter, because everyone knows that the non-Jew is, everyone assumes the non-Jew is working as a sharecropper, and when he does work as a sharecropper, then we don't view it as if he's working for you, he's working for himself, because the more produce there is, the more he gets. Even though incidentally you happen to benefit, because the more produce there is, the more you benefit, the more you gain, still, since he's working for himself, it's permitted. If the field is in a distant place, that there are no Jews living within the area of Tchum Shabbos from it, which is the area of 2,000 amos, approximately 3,000 to 4,000 feet. So if there's no one lives anywhere near there, within 3,000 or 4,000 feet, say half a mile to three quarters of a mile, three quarters of a mile from within this field, there are no Jews living there, then it's permitted even to hire him for a flat fee. He's going to do all the work for a certain price. He's not going to be a day laborer. He'll do all the work for a certain price. Provided, as long as the non-Jew is not a day laborer. And the reason is because, really, as long as he's not a day laborer, he's not working for you. He's working for himself to finish the job to get paid. However, if it's an area where there are Jews, there's a problem we call marasayin. It looks bad. The casual onlooker will assume that he's getting, or suspect that he's getting paid per day, which is forbidden, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. As opposed to a case where he's actually getting a portion of the produce, people will see that he gets a portion of the produce and they'll assume he's a sharecropper. But in a case where there's no marasayin, there's no one to suspect you because no one could see him, the field is outside of the tchum, is distant from any Jews, so then, as long as you do it in a way which is technically permitted, meaning you don't hire him per day, you hire him per job, then it's okay. Sif Vav. In Banu Akum Yisrael Bayis B'Shabbos, if non-Jews built a house for a Jew on Shabbos, B'Isser, and it was forbidden, as we mentioned before, it's almost always forbidden, Nachrein L'Hachim, it's proper to be strict, Shemla Yikanez Bay, that you should not enter the house, meaning you should not benefit from the work they did, they should just not live in that house. There are many details about this law, and then one should consult his Rav in such a scenario. Sif Zayin. A person has a field or a mill which he allows people to use, and he charges a fee for them to use it. It's permitted to rent the field or the mill to a non-Jew, and he will run the business. And he's just paying you for a rental fee for the business, for the mill or for the field. Even though the non-Jew does work for them, in them, on Shabbos, it's permitted because the onlooker will assume that he's at the worst a sharecropper. Even if he thinks that the field still belongs to you, or that the mill still belongs to you, he's going to assume that the non-Jew is getting a percentage of the profits because that was the custom in those areas. That by a mill, it was common to hire a manager who will get a percentage of the profits, and therefore, since you're doing something that's permitted, that the non-Jew is paying you a flat fee for or a flat rental fee, and even if somebody, the onlooker, doesn't assume that it's a rental, at the worst, assume that it's a sharecropping type of scenario where he's getting a percentage of the profits, and that's okay. However, Avol Merchatz, but a bathhouse where the custom was to hire a manager on a daily basis, that you would pay the manager to do the work in the bathhouse, but not that you would give him a percentage of the profits, so then also in Mahaskula, you're not allowed to rent it to him, even though this is technically permissible, because he's not working for you, he's paying for the whole fee to use for the whole year, and then he's doing the work for himself, still the onlooker will assume that he's being hired on a daily basis, and therefore it's forbidden. But if the bathhouse is not owned originally, is not owned by a Jew, the Jew rented the bathhouse from the non-Jew, and then he wants to sublet it to another, a different non-Jew, he should ask his Rav how he should deal with this situation. Somebody who has the rights to collect taxes in the town. He has the right to own an inn. And Tzigel Hotel, which is he has a factory, a brick factory, or Glaz Hotel, which is a glass factory, or Kadaima, anything similar, some type of factory or some type of business that needs to be open on Shabbos. He has to ask his Rav how to go about dealing with this business that needs to be open on Shabbos. Sifches, the Beis HaShoah Yisrael, in a Jew's house, it's forbidden to allow a non-Jew to do malacha in any circumstances. Even your worker, servant, your helper, a maid, for example, who's a non-Jew, wants to do malacha for themselves. You have a living maid and they want to cook themselves lunch on Shabbos. But you have to protest, you have to prevent them from so doing because someone may think that they're cooking, that they're doing malacha for you, and therefore it's forbidden. Siftas. Uman Akum, Shu'asa Malbush, Bishvil Yisrael, a non-Jewish craftsman who made a garment on behalf of a Jew, let's say you commissioned a suit or a pair of shoes, and they made it for you on Shabbos. So they made it for you, not on Shabbos, they made it for you. They view on Shabbos, and then they brought the completed article to you on Shabbos. Motel de Lavshay, and then you're allowed to wear it. You don't have to assume that he did the work on Shabbos. But if you know that he completed the work on Shabbos, Eilin Lavshay, you should not wear the garment, unless there's a great need, you don't have any other suit for Shabbos, for example, then you could wear it. But you're not allowed to pick up your utensils or your garments from the craftsman, even from a Jewish craftsman, a Jewish shoemaker, you can't pick up a completed pair of shoes from his store, from his shop, because it looks like malacha was done on Shabbos, and therefore it's forbidden. But if you have a non-Jew who's not a craftsman, he's not the professional who actually made the garment or made the shoes, for example, he has a store. He sells shoes, for example, or anything similar. Since he's not the craftsman, he's not the actual shoemaker, so a Jew who is friendly with this non-Jew, he knows him, he's able, he could purchase the shoes on Shabbos and to wear them, but he can't give him any money. That's why it has to be that this non-Jew trusts you, you're on familiar enough terms that the non-Jew will trust you to pay him after Shabbos, so you can walk in, you can take a pair of shoes, you can't discuss with him, fix with him a price. And it can't be an item which was brought from outside the Tchum, because then you wouldn't be allowed to use it on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to carry it around on Shabbos, but if he got the inventory before Shabbos, and it's just sitting in his store, and you walk in and say, can I take this pair of shoes? We'll discuss price after Shabbos. That will be permitted since he himself is not the craftsman. It doesn't look like he commissioned this. It doesn't look like he made the shoes on Shabbos. Everyone knows that the guy in the shoe store didn't make the shoes on Shabbos. And therefore, it's okay. Sif Yud. Kalim Sh'oisim Bohem Malacha. Utensils or items that are used to perform a forbidden act on Shabbos, to perform malacha on Shabbos. Could go to machreisha, for example, a plow, kiyotibay, or anything similar, a tractor, a car. Also, in la'haskil, la'akom, be'er Shabbos, you're not allowed to rent this item to a non-Jew on Friday. The afa pish einon and mitzvot ma'ashvi says, even though we're not commanded to make sure that our items, our objects, rest and do not do work on Shabbos, and therefore there's nothing wrong with the non-Jew driving my car on Shabbos, Mikomakim still came at you, since the Jew is collecting wages, he's getting paid for this, and he rented it on Friday, it looks a little bit as if the non-Jew is my shliach, as if he's my agent to do this work, and therefore it's forbidden. Because it looks bad. But on Thursday already, and certainly earlier in the week, it's permitted to rent these things because really the rental is permitted. Just it looks bad, so since it's not right before Shabbos, people don't think that you're renting it for Shabbos, don't think that you're making him your agent to do work on Shabbos, and it's okay. Well, a hashri alai to lend him an object, not to rent it and collect money, but to lend it to him, mutra afil bear Shabbos permitted even on Friday. Even objects, items that you do perform a forbidden act with them, you perform malacha with them. Provided that the non-Jew take them from the house of the Jew before the onset of Shabbos. And even if in masnim ha'akim shehu yashil le'avur zayis kel pamacher, so you tell the non-Jew, you know, let's make a deal. I'll lend you this today, and you know, sometime in the future, you know, you'll lend me something. That's also what is permitted because it's not really wages. You didn't make any specific deal. You said, you know, you'll lend me something in the future. That's okay. The way I mean, we don't say in this type of case to have a kisqiris that's considered like wages, and therefore it's permitted even on erev Shabbos. The chayim lehaskin like kalim shein oisim hemelacha, and so too to rent items, you can't do work with them. For example, you're going to rent him a suit. Mutter, it's permitted, I feel, bear Shabbos even on Friday. Kishal Akum might see on Karim Shabbos, provided that the non Jew removes them from the Jew's house before Shabbos. Otherwise, it looks like he is your agent to carry it outside, which is not acceptable. Yudalif, Sif Yudalif, Hadin Mutter. I just want to clarify something. Even if you're in a city with an Eruv, so it's technically permitted to carry from your house outside, however, if the non-Jew takes it out of your house on Shabbos, it looks like maybe you sold it to him, which is forbidden to do on Shabbos, and therefore one is not allowed to allow the non-Jew to take it from your house on Shabbos. Sifyut Aleph. Hadim Mutra Lahaske Kelim La'akum by Fireman is Karim. This is you're allowed to rent objects or utensils to a non-Jew, in the manner that we just described. It's only if you're not collecting rent for Shabbos by itself. Only it's sort of swallowed up together with the rent of other days. Meaning, Kegain, for example. There's a flat rate per month, or per week. And you say to him, on behalf of every week, for every month, or for the whole month, give me a certain amount. The rental is based upon the week or the month. We say every 2 days is how much I charge. But the rental fee for Shabbos by itself, also in Lito, is forbidden to take. Even if the rental period is for an entire year, it's still v'chayshrim liyam nifradim, but the calculation of the rent is based upon a per-day rate. That's also forbidden. Shemir, for example, he says, ani masu l'chal l'shana l'chayish, I'm renting this to you for the term of a year or a month, u'ba'at kol yayim v'yayim, and for each and every day, titan l'kach v'kach, he'll give me a certain amount of money. That's forbidden. And afa pisha acha kach m'shalim ho'akum v'at kol yayim v'basachat, even though at the end, the non-Jew pays in one lump sum, he gives you one check for the entire amount of the rental. Still, since the rental fee is being calculated on a per-day basis, also litos chara magia shabbos, it's forbidden to take the rent, which is because of Shabbos. Kevin shem mechashim yom nifadim, since you are calculating the days individually. But also litos chara Shabbos shalei davla, and you're not allowed to take rental fee for Shabbos specifically, not swallowed up within other days, like we just discussed, I feel bad killing Shein Oisim HaMelacha, even for the usage of items that you don't do Melacha with them, even for a rental suit or something similar. If I feel bad Chedin Ladeba, even for the rental of a room to sleep in, still you're not allowed to collect rent for that room specifically for Shabbos. This is Chai Shabbos, who bein mi'akum, bein mi'yisrael, and this prohibition of accepting rent for Shabbos is whether you're collecting it from a non-Jew or from a Jew, so you can rent another Jew, let's say a room in your house, he's going to pay on a per-day basis because he's giving you Chai Shabbos.